He talked about the priest Ezra reading Torah in front of the people of Israel. And they read it by the water gate. I want to talk to you about a different water gate. You'll understand why I'm introducing this water gate, because it tells us something about our need as human beings that is national. And Israel ran into the same thing. They had a national need. They ran into a similar disaster, although the incidents were different. It was a disaster. First, Watergate, our national nightmare. Say, why did you bring that up now? Well, it's been, you know how many years since Watergate? 40, the Bible's testing period. 1974, Watergate. And on Thursday evening, August 8, 1974, Richard M. Nixon, the 37th President of the United States, was coping with the fact that his presidency was in its death throes. The United States had been thrown into a long period of national distress, and it was brought about by an incident that became known as the Watergate scandal. During the 1972 election campaign, a Republican committee called the CRP, the Committee to Re-elect the President, had hired burglars to steal information from the Democratic headquarters in a building called Watergate in Washington, D.C. The burglars were caught, and eventually evidence was uncovered to prove that President Nixon was involved in the conspiracy and had taken part in the cover-up. To avoid impeachment, Richard Nixon resigned the presidency on August 14, 1974. Never before had a president resigned. Never before had a president been so disgraced. After he had replaced Nixon, President Gerald Ford announced this. He went before the TV cameras and said, "My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over." Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, we're introduced to another nightmare. This was probably sometime during the 12th century BC, and it was Israel's national hero who was involved. As a teenager, killed this Philistine giant, Goliath. David later became the king of Israel. God blessed him with blessing upon blessing. And yet, David was about to take the greatest moral plunge of his entire life. I read that psalm that he wrote, that psalm of repentance. It's one of the greatest messages of repentance in all of Tanakh. And in 2 Samuel 7, it talks about what led to this terrible tragedy in his life. Now, why am I bringing this up? It's because of the fact that no matter how godly a person is, and he was godly, there's all that danger of falling into sin. None of us is so ethereal that we're incapable of falling. We should always remember that. That's why we have to stay close to the Lord. And in 2 Samuel 11, it begins with, "In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David instead remained in Jerusalem." See, kings in that area, the Middle East, went ahead of their army and fought. And David had a different direction here. He decided to remain in Jerusalem. He was going to take it easy. And he started walking around the roof of the palace. And he looked on another roof. And there was this absolutely gorgeous woman, strikingly beautiful, taking a bath. And his manly lusts got the best of him. And he sent to find out who this was, this gorgeous creature taking this bath. And it turned out that it's Bathsheba. His messenger brings him the message. It's Bathsheba. She's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. He wasn't Jewish by birth, but he was dedicated to the cause of Israel, and he served faithfully in David's army. He was a faithful servant of David. David's fallen nature got the best of him. And he sent for this woman, and he slept with her, and she became pregnant. She called David and let him know. She let him know that she was pregnant by their relationship. You could see the wheels start turning. What am I going to do? Now, let me just say this. I have said to myself, more than any other portion of Scripture, Psalm 23. That's one of my favorite portions of Scripture. When I think of this word that David brings forth, I don't think of this thing. Why am I bringing this tonight? Because it's all about repentance and forgiveness. And so David's fallen nature gets the best of him. And he calls his general on the field and has Uriah sent from the battlefield back home. And he tries to do various things to get Uriah to go back to his house, obviously to have relations with his wife and cover David's sin. He even gets Uriah drunk at one time. And nothing works. All of his attempts at cover-up a la Watergate. See, whether you're in 40 years ago in the national government of the United States, or you were back in the 12th century BC and you were the leader of this supposedly spiritual country, Israel, there's the same fallen nature in all of us that we have to cope with, myself included. Nobody comes to the place where you're no longer vulnerable. That's why we have to keep our relationship going with the Lord, who is the one who can strengthen us and keep us from falling. So David instructs his general, Joab, to put Uriah in the front line. And he does so where the fighting is fiercest. And Uriah was killed in battle. David was now guilty of breaking at least three commandments of Torah, if not more. The sixth commandment says, "You shall not murder." The seventh commandment, "You shall not commit adultery." And the tenth commandment, "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife." After Bathsheba's time of mourning for Uriah, her husband, was over, David had Bathsheba brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done, it says in Scripture, displeased the Lord. He was still in the act of trying to cover up, a la Watergate. And God had a prophet named Nathan. Nathan is the same one who gave the prophecy to David that God had a plan for him, that never a man would fail from his throne. The Lord sent Nathan, the prophet, to David to reveal to the king that though the Lord had blessed David with every conceivable blessing, including the kingship of Israel, David's heinous crime involving Uriah and Bathsheba would be punished. Calamity would come to David's family, would come to his own household, and it did come, one after another. Sin has its consequences, even if you're the king. Richard Nixon was not above the law. We are not above God's law. Sin has its consequence. David repented, and we read that psalm of repentance, didn't we? But he suffered also. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation," he wrote, "and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me. And my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." One half of Israel's book of worship and praise, Psalms, was written by David. At least 75 of the Psalms. Why does David's name appear on the first line of the New Covenant or New Testament, right next to Yeshua? It begins with the book of the genealogy of Yeshua the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. David comes first here because God was fulfilling his promise that never a man would fail from the throne of David, and here was that promise being fulfilled to its fullest. Here comes Yeshua the Messiah of the line of David as the Messiah of Israel and Savior of the world. Why did David's name appear next to Yeshua at the beginning of the New Testament? One reason, David was a good repenter. That's the reason. And when we stumble and when we do wrong, the best thing is to own up to it before our Father, ask forgiveness, and repent. That's what this holy day is all about. From the time of Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur are the 10 awesome days of repentance. And there's never, never a time when repentance and making it right before God isn't available to us. There's never a time when we are not capable of falling, but there's never a time when our Savior, the Lord God, the Messiah, Yeshua, is not waiting with open arms to cleanse us and forgive us. Let's pray. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmorecha. Yo'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. Thank you, O Lord God, for the forgiveness that is in the atoning sacrifice of Yeshua the Messiah. We thank you for this time when we can come to you, be cleansed, be restored, be strengthened. Help us to live a life that glorifies you. In Yeshua's name.